Hi, it's Monique. I'm back at the National Astronomy Meeting, and this time I'm talking to some of the members of the Galaxy Zoo Science Team, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Brooke Simmons. I'm a postdoc at the University of Oxford. I work on galaxy evolution and black holes in galaxies.
Hi, I'm Becky Smethurst. I'm a PhD student at the University of Oxford, and I work on star formation history of galaxies.
Hi, I'm Tom Melvin. I just finished my PhD at the University of Portsmouth, and I work on bars and disk galaxies.
Well, it's great to have all of you here. So could we start off by giving just an overview of what Galaxy Zoo is, like a brief idea of what the project's like for those of our listeners who've not heard about it before?
Sure. Well, if you haven't heard of Galaxy Zoo, you can go and find out about it yourself by going to galaxyzoo.org. It is a website where we ask the public for help with classifying galaxies. It turns out that a lot of the really important questions about the physics of galaxies can be answered by just simple questions about their shapes, like, do you see a spiral shape or do you see a rectangular shaped bar inside of a round galaxy, for example? And we have thus far enlisted the help of over 300,000 members of the public on Galaxy Zoo alone, and over 1.3 million people on all of the other projects we have, and done really amazing science you can't do any other way.
That's great to hear. So how has Galaxy Zoo helped you individually in your own research?
So with my research, looking at bars, it's kind of high redshift sort of galaxies, and to do that with a computer is quite difficult, and there are a lot of problems, but with the Galaxy Zoo classifications, it was much easier, and you get some very nice images that come out, and it's just a very solid way of looking at how these bars have changed and how you can measure them without having to do so much computational work that you'd have to do any other way. So it's made my PhD easier in that respect, that I haven't had to do all that computational work, that side of it. So that's kind of my personal use of Galaxy Zoo data.
For me, the really cool thing about Galaxy Zoo is that you get about 40 plus people to look at every single image of a galaxy. So you get really cool statistics on how much people agree about the classification of a galaxy. So how many people agree that it's got a bar in there, or how many people agree that it is a disk shape. And that allows you to do really cool things where you use the entire catalog. So instead of splitting now your galaxies into these things are definitely disky or spiral, and these things are definitely sort of the strange blobs that we see, you get to use this whole range of statistics and say, actually, these ones in the middle are kind of half and half. And that really helps you understand how galaxies evolve from being nice spiral shapes to these end up being these weird blob shapes at the end.
So it's given you a bit of information about how they're not just in rigid categories as we might have previously thought.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, previously a lot of people had done it as sort of very much bimodal populations, and this has really given us the chance to utilize statistics to be able to say, actually, there's this wide range of morphologies and therefore a wide range of different evolution paths they can take.
And Brooke?
Well, I actually use Galaxy Zoo in many ways, but one of the key ways is I look for rare objects. And these are things where we might have a million galaxies and maybe 30 or 40 of them are the kind that I need. And they're very important objects because they allow us to study certain kinds of physics. In particular, the kind that I study are pure disk galaxies that have never had any signs of any kind of merger. And there's no signatures of that that have built up in the galaxy over time. And that's a pretty rare track in galaxy evolution, but it's really important because it teaches us about the sort of fundamental underlying things that happen without galaxy collisions, which all galaxies would go through at some time or another. And if you use a computer to try to pick those out, you can do pretty well, but it's a bit noisy and you're a little bit contaminated, and that can really wreck your statistics when you're dealing with small numbers. But the visual classifications that people give us are really accurate, and as Becky said, when you have so many people giving us so many answers, you can be pretty sure of the answer. So Galaxy Zoo is really the only way to do this kind of work.
And so what kind of signatures are you looking for that tell you when something's been through a merger or hasn't been through a merger?
Well, most galaxies, we think when they form, they have pretty ordered motions. They collapse into rotating disks and they're quite thin, and you can pick those out pretty easily. If a galaxy has some kind of a collision or interaction or merger, some of that ordered, those stars that are in ordered motions get thrown up into more chaotic orbits, and it becomes what's known as a central bulge, which is like a little kind of like the yolk of the fried egg, if you will, in a spiral galaxy. So if a galaxy has a bulge, what we call a classical bulge, it pretty much has to have had a merger, because we think that those bulges are the inevitable result of mergers. And so then turning that on its head, if you find galaxies that have no sign of that whatsoever, then it can't have had those processes.
So the bulge is really the clear sign of a merger.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So I think earlier on this week there was a talk about classifying galaxies using computers and like with a new algorithm and new techniques. Do you think it's possible we'll get to a point where machines are as good as or better than people, or are we even reaching that point now?
I think we'll get to a point where machines do the easy task for you. So the things that people kind of get not bored of classifying, but it's really easy to do where you're going through and you're going, yeah, that's definitely a disk. Yeah, that's definitely a round thing. And then you get to the point where you say, oh, what's that? You know, that this is weird. This is rare. This is really interesting. And the computers really struggle with that. So it's great that they're developing these algorithms that are really going to help us out if we're getting huge numbers of galaxy images in the future, you know, to the sort of billions rather than millions with these new telescopes we're building, that computers will be able to whittle down those numbers so that the public can then come on and classify the really cool stuff that's left over at the end.
There's a survey coming online soon that's called the Large Synoptic Sky Telescope, I suppose. Yeah, anyway, it's LSST, and that's going to have somewhere in the realm of a billion galaxies. And even if the machines are 99% accurate in classifying those, so that still leaves 1% of galaxies that we don't know the shapes of, and those 1% might contain really interesting things, and 1% of a billion is still a million objects, right? So I don't think any of us are going to be out of a job anytime soon, and in fact, we really need the machine classifiers to improve, so we're all really pleased about this result.
So it sounds like they're kind of complementary as well, I guess, two different approaches. So you mentioned LSST is one of the upcoming surveys. What do you see as the next big things that Galaxy Zoo is going to work on or look at?
I think we're certainly planning to incorporate many other new surveys before LSST comes online. One of the things I'm really excited about is practicing for the era of LSST and other big surveys, which are going to take repeated images of the sky. And so we'll get kind of a film of the sky every night and be able to see things that are changing. And what I'd really like to be able to do is to have telescope images come that night to be classified by the public and tell us what's interesting going on that day. And then we can go and follow that up. And this kind of live feedback, which would also probably involve some machine classification, would be really important to helping us discover new things because LSST is a way of seeing the sky that we've never really seen before.
It's amazing that you could get the classification that quickly, really. I think it's prior to Galaxy Zoo, no one would have thought it was possible.
Yeah. We tried it recently with a project that we did with BBC Stargazing Live with Snapshot Supernova. It was called. We were looking for supernova in recent images compared to library images. And we had data coming off a telescope in Australia after their night's observing, being classified by the British public in the evening, sort of GMT time. And then if they found any candidate supernova, they would be followed up by a telescope in Chile to confirm whether it was a supernova or not, then again, like sort of later that night when the sun set in Chile. So it really was sort of live and amazing. It really captured the British public sort of hearts, basically.
No, that's a really quick turnaround. So kind of like on, you mentioned that really captured the British public's hearts. So what kind of impact do you feel that like Galaxy Zoo's had in terms of outreach and getting people interested and engaged with science?
So for outreach, it's really interesting because you can kind of go with your Galaxy Zoo and you can go to kids that are around 5 or 6 years old and just get them used to looking at galaxies for the first time and telling them bits about galaxies. And it's very simple because it is just shapes, but then it stretches out. I've used it as far as sort of A-level students and undergrad students, because you can start getting into a bit more details about the kinematics of the galaxies and why you form things like spiral arms and bars. But then even when you go to larger things like Stargazing Live, you can have a screen up with all these galaxies and you can get people to start to classify things and you get them involved and they get very interested and you mention other things in the Zooniverse as well. And so it just lets people start to actually interact with a science thing where they're actually helping us with the results rather than maybe watching it on TV and going, well, this is interesting, but how can I help with this?
Yeah, you often find with outreach that you go into a school or, you know, you talk to the public and you talk to them about what you do and how you do it and that you're doing really cool science. And they enjoy that, but the coolest thing for them is to then contribute to that science, you know, feel like they're doing something towards it themselves. And it really gives people a boost if they've done science as a degree and then they've gone on to do, you know, say work in the city, they feel like they can still continue doing that science. Or if they've never thought science was for them before because they thought it was too hard, and then they've realized that they can help out in this really simple way, they're really pleased.
We're coming up on Galaxy Zoo's 8th anniversary. It's actually in a couple of days, and so we've had a whole generation of kids in school who have essentially gone through their whole school career knowing about Galaxy Zoo, or close to their whole career. And in fact, we just found out this year in our department, when our PhD students were interviewing our candidates, that I think all of them, maybe all of them save one, had done Galaxy Zoo and remembered Galaxy Zoo and had mentioned it when they were interviewing, like, oh, I did that and it really helped me and it inspired me and made me feel like maybe science was a good thing. I really like astronomy. And so I'm hoping that we'll just see that more and more the longer Galaxy Zoo continues.
That's fantastic to see it follow all the way through. I'd never even thought about that. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me today. And it would be great to have you on in the future if you're ever in Manchester or I see you again. So
great, thank you.
Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers, thank you.
And if you're interested in taking part in Galaxy Zoo, I think you can find the website. There's also an app as well for both Android and iPhone. Yeah. So have a go.